Hey, good morning. It's good to see all of you here this morning. I want to just add my voice to Paul's real quickly. I know it's always distracting when we're taking offering, but tonight is a really cool thing. This three churches coming together. When Paul first called me, it's been about a year and a half now, to ask if we would consider coming up here. One of the things that really captured my imagination, I think, was he described a place where there were churches that were actually getting together with a shared vision for reaching Phoenixville. And I don't know if you guys realize how unusual that is. And it's a tragedy that it is, but it's true. It's just not the norm. You don't find churches that say, hey, you know what, we're going to take time out of our schedules. We're going to think about how we can work together throughout the year. And so when he described that to me, I thought, okay, I need to check this place out because God's doing something here. So like Paul said, no guilt. You know, this is not a guilt trip or anything, but this is a neat thing tonight, what we're trying to do. And it's not going to be the only opportunity. But if you have the chance, if you can make it out, come and hear a little bit of that vision for what is for what God's doing here in Phoenixville. I think you'll be glad you did. Let me pray for us, and then we will get to it, all right? Father, we just thank you again for this moment. Father, I just thank you for that time that we had just watching the video. Just to be quiet and to be still. To remember that you are God. And Lord, we do come in with so many distractions and so much that's going on in our lives and in our world. And we just want to have that moment of quiet, of peace, to be reminded of what's really true. And we don't want to miss that. God, I pray that right now as we look into your word, as we consider, you know, that very topic, just what it looks like to live in a distracted world, I pray, Father, that you would just quiet our hearts. I pray that you would speak through me. I pray that you would speak through your word. And that this would be something that we could really take home and that you would use it in our lives. And so we just pray all this in Christ's name. Amen. So is everybody awake? Everybody doing okay this morning? Good. All right, I got at least one person. Greg's always awake and ready to go, so I appreciate that. Hold on just a second, one moment. I just thought of something. Hold on. Just take care of that. Okay. So what I was saying was, where was I? Hold on just a second. Facebook status real quick. Preaching at GVF. Awesome. Cool. What? What? Yeah, I know. That's the real miracle. That is the real miracle. If I could actually get a cell phone reception here. Okay, so I'm a terrible actor, so you knew that was fake. But here's the deal. You guys have all seen that before, right? You've seen that before. You've seen that when you're having dinner with your husband or your wife. You've seen that when you're having lunch with a colleague or a friend or maybe around the dinner table with your family. And you know you've got your phone up there. And maybe if you do practice proper smartphone etiquette, you turn it over. I don't know if you realize that, but I looked this up. I Googled this. So you turn it over, and so it's sitting on the table, and everyone's out there. It's kind of like we put all of our guns up there so everybody can, like, see. You know, we're all armed. Okay, good. Everybody clear on that. And then it starts to vibrate a little bit, and it's like, whose is it? You know, it's like the game. And so then you check it, and it turns out it's your friends. And you're like, oh. And then, but of course, then you have to check something because you want them to know that you're as important as they are. So it's like, okay, now I'm doing mine. So you're on yours. I'm on mine. See? Look at me. And pretty soon, everybody around the table has their phone out, and we're all distracted. Now, we didn't always have smartphones to distract us. So when I was living in Italy, this is back when we had stupid phones, and I was living in Italy, and I was at this restaurant with some friends. There's a stupid phone right there. I like that, sir. There's a few of you out there, and I respect that. I respect that. So when I was living in Italy, there was this, I went to this restaurant with some friends, and there was this couple, this American couple, clearly tourists, they're sitting over here, and I'm watching, and here we are in one of the most beautiful, romantic cities in the world. And this guy is sitting here, right, guy, girl, and he's not even facing her. He is turned completely to the side, and he's reading his travel book about Rome. And she's sitting there looking completely miserable, just staring like kind of off into space, kind of like messing with her pasta. And I just was like, oh my goodness. I mean, man, look up. You're in like this great Italian restaurant in the middle of Rome. with your wife or your girlfriend or somebody who actually cares about you and wants to be there with you, although that's dwindling as time passes. And I just wanted to like go over there and take the book away from him and beat him with it. Be like, look up at her. I mean, you're a moron. But we're so easily distracted, aren't we? We're so easily, whether it's our phones or whether it's our travel books or whatever it is, we're so easily distracted from whoever is right in front of us, often the most important thing in our lives. And it's not just with our families, it's not just with our husbands and wives and our kids or even from our jobs, because some of us, we get distracted from our jobs pretty easily, don't we? But it's not just those things where it's most damaging and it's most dangerous is that we're distracted from our Lord. We're distracted from God. And so here we're left with this fascinating predicament where we have the God of the universe who wants to know us and wants to spend time with us, wants to have a relationship with us, and we're too busy reading our travel books. We're too busy lost on our phones and our cell phones. This week I was in my office. I was going to go spend some time studying and, get ready for this morning and spend some time with the Lord. And so I try to open up my Bible. And as I do that, I'm like, you know what? I should really check my email because there might be something there, the fire that I need to put out or something important. So I'm going to check that. And, you know, while I'm on my internet, I should check CNN because the world might be ending. It might be these days. So I'm going to check that. And did you know that Scotland almost seceded from the UK? What was that all about? So before I know it, I'm not reading my Bible. I'm reading about what they're going to do possibly with the nuclear warships that are docked in Scotland that are belong to England as though somehow I need to know about that. Like somehow me knowing what they're going to do with those warships makes any bit of difference at all in the world. But somehow I need to know that. There's a need there. See, we're so easily distracted. We want to know what's going on all the time. And it's not a surprise, right? Because we live in a world right now that information is at our fingertips. I mean, we live in the information age, the digital age, the internet age. Maybe those are all the same. I don't know. But we're inundated with information. We're overflooded with data and entertainment and amusement. When I first went to get my first iPhone, and because I used to have a stupid phone, and I loved that thing. It was indestructible. I could do anything to it. But my boss at the time actually told me I had to go get a smartphone. And so I went for work. And so I went, and they were telling me everything that this thing was going to do for me. And I remember having this thought of like, I will never be bored again. I mean, I've got everything right there. I will never sit there and wonder, what should I think about or what should I do? I can play games. I can check Facebook. I can check ESPN. It's all right there, as though boredom, or at least the alleviation of it, is somehow the highest standard of human existence. Like, that's what we're really shooting for. And I think for some of us, maybe it is. This week, or a couple weeks ago, we got an ad in the mail from Comcast. We have internet through them. And they were trying to add cable to our package. And so I get 2.5 channels with satellite or with antenna. So not a whole lot. If you want to have me over to watch football, let me know. And so they were trying to add cable to this. And it was going to have 225 plus channels. I have 2.5. Now, some of you probably have cable. That's fine. My parents have cable. I would love to have cable in some ways. Right, but I was reading this and I was like, 225 plus channels? Like, what on earth would I do with all those channels? How many of those would I actually watch? We're just overrun with information, overrun with data, overrun with entertainment and amusement. And it's all right there at our fingertips all the time. I don't have to search for it. It's in my pocket. I don't have to go anywhere. The internet is everywhere. iCloud is following me around. It's always right there for me. And so because of that, it becomes incredibly difficult to unplug. And I think for many of us, I know for me, it becomes almost an addiction. So it's no longer that I want to know something. There's a part of me that kind of needs to know. You know what I'm talking about? It's like I don't just want to know the football score anymore. There's a part of me that kind of needs to know. I don't just want to check my friend's Facebook status. I kind of need to. I need to know if I'm missing anything. I don't just want out of responsibility to check my work email. There's a part of me that needs to do that. I've got to stop what I'm doing. I've got to check and see what's going on with that. Because there might be something that only I can solve. But here's the problem. It's not really Facebook. It's not really BuzzFeed for you BuzzFeed addicts out there. It's not the quizzes, it's not the internet. All of those things are simply a reflection of who we are. And see, the truth is that we are incredibly prone to distraction. It's very easy to be distracted. In fact, we kind of want to be distracted. We like to be distracted because it's easier than facing and dealing with reality oftentimes. And so we go to work and we spend all day fighting with clients or our bosses, or maybe we're all day at school taking classes and studying, and we're working hard, and we come home and we find that, you know what, rather than engaging with our husband or our wife or helping the kids with their homework or getting down on the floor playing with them or dealing with that roommate who's driving you crazy, it's easier just to get online. It's easier to play a video game. It's easier to turn on the football game. And when there's, you factor problems in, right, because life isn't easy. So then you factor in like the fact that we have struggles and frustrations with those very people that we're kind of avoiding anyway. Suddenly it's like all the more reason to escape, all the more reason to unplug, all the more reason to say, you know, I don't want to deal with that. So I'm just going to check it out over there and check in over here where I can be distracted and I can be amused. And we would like to think that if we could just turn all that stuff off, if I could just turn off my phone, if I could turn off my computer, if I did all that, then I would no longer be distracted. But of course, we know that's not true either. Anybody else here ever have a conversation and you realize halfway through that you're not listening? My wife is great at catching me at this. I'm really good with verbal cues, normally. So she'll, you know, we'll be having this conversation. I'm like, uh-huh, yes. And then she's like, you're not listening. Yes, I am. And she's like, what was I just talking about? Your mother, I don't know. I have no idea, right? I have no idea what she's talking about. And thankfully, God has put her in my life because I've grown as a person. And so I'm much better about this now. But it, right? But that's where we've been. We don't even need all these other things to distract us. We can be distracted just as well on our own. See, it's not easy to engage with life. We're inundated with information. We're distracted all the time. It's easier to be distracted. And there's a part of us that wants to be distracted because we don't want to have to face life's problems. And it's not just with our families. It's not just with our friends. It's not just with work. As we said, the most damaging and most dangerous place is that it happens with our God. It's not easy to engage with him. But did you know it's not supposed to be? It's not supposed to be. It takes work, just like any other relationship. But all too often, we take the easy way out. And we settle for distraction and amusement. G.K. Chesterton, he said, the Christian life has not been tried and found wanting. It's been found difficult and left untried. And that's so true for many of us. In 1 Corinthians 9, I want to look at just a few things this morning. 1 Corinthians 9, Paul talks about pursuing godliness. And he puts it in the context of this race. This is what he says. Don't you know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. And so I don't run aimlessly. I don't box as one beating the air, but I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. Now, look, here's what you have to understand that's not explicit in this text. When Paul talks about pursuing godliness and pursuing holiness, he's talking about pursuing a relationship with God. See, you don't have godliness without God. We don't get to separate those two things. And sometimes I think we like to think that we can, that we can be godly if we just sort of look the part. And so we think that godliness means that I look this way or I act this way or I talk this way or I do these things. And so there's godliness. But that's not godliness. That's not holiness. That's a checklist. That's legalism. Godliness means that we have a relationship with God, that in that relationship, God is transforming us. He's changing us from the inside out. That's true godliness. And it might look a little bit like the checklist, but it's completely different. It's categorically different. Godliness comes when we pursue God. So when he's talking about pursuing holiness here, he's talking about pursuing a relationship with God, that God himself is the prize. So what he says here then is that if we're going to pursue God like that, he says, he compares it to a race, that it's like an athlete who is training to run in this race. Anybody here run any marathons or half marathons? You guys get this. It takes effort, doesn't it? It takes discipline. It's something that you have to focus on. You're going to do, and you're not going to accidentally win, right? We're not like in Boston sometime where we're just kind of hanging around and some people run by us. And so we jump into the race and then we somehow find ourselves winning the Boston Marathon. It's not going to happen. We don't stumble into winning a marathon, right? That is ridiculous. And that's Paul's point. It's ridiculous to think that we're going to stumble into holiness, that we're going to suddenly accidentally find ourselves in a relationship with God, like a deep, passionate relationship with God where we know him and he knows us. And we're pursuing him, right? That's not going to just, I don't just wake up to that. I'm not walking along and I trip into a puddle of holiness and I get up and I'm dripping and look, I'm holy, right? It doesn't happen by accident. It requires discipline and focus. And notice that if you're running a race, you're not distracted. You're not running along and then, oh, there's a matinee. I'm going to run into the movie theater, watch for a little while and then come back out. You're not going to win that way. It doesn't happen like that. See, it's something that requires discipline and focus and determination and hard work. And it's the same thing in our relationship with God. If we're going to have a relationship with him that transforms our hearts and our souls, then we have to have that kind of discipline and determination. And it doesn't just happen by accident. We have to make it a priority. And we see a great example of this in Mark 1 in the life of Christ. He says, this is what Mark writes, says that evening at sundown, they brought to Jesus all who were sick or oppressed by demons. And the whole city was gathered together at the door, and he healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him. And catch this, verse 35, and rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him, and they found him and said to him, everyone is looking for you. And he said to them, let us go out into the towns that I may preach there also, for that is why I came out. And he went throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and casting out demons. Did you catch that? This is what amazes me. Jesus isn't just doing something, you know, sort of mundane. It's not just sort of like old rote, you know. It's not like we like to think that we have important lives, we have important things going on. I don't think anything that we're going to do is going to compare to this. Jesus is casting out demons. He's healing people. Lives are at stake. He's literally saving people's lives and changing the world. And yet it's in the midst of that that he says, you know what, I've got to have this time with my God, with my Father. So here we have Jesus, the one person you would think probably doesn't need to spend that much time with God since he is God. And yet the Son says, I'm going to spend time with my Heavenly Father. And it's not like he's waiting until everything's perfect. He's not, okay, I've healed everybody and I've saved everybody's lives and I've cast out all the demons. No, it's in the midst of that that he says, no, I'm going to get away for a little while. Because what does Simon say? He comes to him and says, Jesus, where are you? Where have you been? What's going on, man? There are sick people out here. There are people with demons out here, and they need your attention. Where have you gone? People are looking for you, lots of people. And Jesus says, I know. But you know what? I've got to spend time with my dad. Anybody who's married, you get this. Anybody who's ever been married, you get this. You don't stumble into a great relationship with your spouse, right? You don't stumble into a good marriage. You know, for Carrie and I, if one of the ways that we have to keep our marriage strong is we have to spend time together. It's just one of those things. I've yet to find a couple that that's not true of. And so for us, that means very practically, it means that we have to put the kids down early as we can, which is an effort. And then we have to turn off our phones, we have to turn off our computers, we have to sit on the couch, we have to stare at each other. Because if there's anything else in the room, then we're going to be distracted. But it's in that context, right, that I can sit there and I can focus, and then she helps me because I start to wander off, right? But that's what it takes. It takes that kind of effort. But you know what? It's a struggle every single time. Every time, as many nights of the week that we can do that, there's a moment where we're like, should we watch a TV show? Should you think we should turn something on? No, you know what? We're actually going to sit. We're going to sit on the couch and we're going to catch up. And you know what? I've never once regretted that. Not once. There's never been a time that we've ended that time where we've just been catching up and we're just laughing and we have a great conversation. Or even if it's not all that great, we're just sort of going through life together. I've never walked away from that and thought, I wish we'd watched a movie instead. Not once. I've never thought, I wish I'd watched a football game. The Cowboys were probably going to lose anyway. Right? It's never happened. But you know what? There have been times when I've walked away and I've thought, I wish I hadn't wasted my time watching that game. I wish we hadn't watched that TV show because I don't really feel like I've connected with my wife at all. See, for us to be strong, that's required. It's the same in our relationship with God. It's hard work. It takes discipline. It means that we have to get away. It means that, like Christ, we have to seek solitude at times. That we have to seek that silence where we can go and we can be still and we can know that he is God. And it's in that that he reminds us of who he is and our relationship with him. But it takes hard work. It takes discipline. It takes getting away and closing our phones and closing our computers and turning off the TV and getting away from everything for a little while. And it doesn't take that much. It doesn't take that much. We're not talking about going on a personal retreat here. And I know some of you are thinking, well, we have very busy lives. Go back and listen to Paul's sermon from last week and repent. And then realize that what we're talking about here with spending this kind of time with God, it doesn't have to take all day. We're not talking about taking weekends at a time. We're talking about daily, just a few minutes, just to reset our minds and to refocus. It might just be while you're driving in your car. You have to turn off your radio, turn off your CD player, turn off your iPod, put down your phone, and just spend those few moments being still before God. It might be, you know, this week, Carrie and I, we decided we were going to run, and we were going to do it without listening to music. Imagine that. We're going to exercise without listening to something. And Carrie came back from a run, and she still had her earphones on. And I said, I thought you weren't going to listen to anything. And she said, I just didn't want anyone to think that I might talk to them. Fair enough. You know, you do what it takes, right? If that means deceiving everyone. No. Okay, so you do whatever it takes. Maybe it means getting up 10 minutes earlier in the morning. Maybe it means taking a lunch break and setting that time aside. Maybe it means 10 minutes at night. I don't know what it looks like for you, but it doesn't have to be expansive. The point is that it has to be intentional. It takes a plan, because nobody's going to stumble into a relationship with God. No one's going to stumble into godliness. It takes hard work. It takes discipline. We have to make it a priority if we want to know him, if we want to hear his voice. But here's the question, because in the midst of all this that I've just shared, there's something that's sort of assumed. And so this is the question that I think we have to ask ourselves, is if we really want to. I mean, it's easy to come to church and, you know, theoretically most of us here have a relationship with God. And it's easy to say, yeah, I want to know him. I want to hear him. I want to hear him speak to me. I want to be part of that. But I'm not sure if we really do. Not always. I think a lot of times it's so much easier to be distracted and to be amused. And frankly, we'd rather do that. I think we'd rather spend that time doing a BuzzFeed quiz or watching a video on YouTube or playing Clash of Clans or whatever it is. It's just, it's more fun. It's more amusing. It's easier. And so that's where all that discipline that we've already talked about, that's where that comes in. But I think there's another side of this. I think for many of us, this idea of actually spending time with God, I think it's a little bit scary. And if we're really honest with ourselves, this idea of spending time alone with an infinite, holy, all-knowing God, if we really consider that, that's intimidating. And if we go before God, a holy God, I mean, what's he going to say to us? What's he going to ask of us? What might he require of us if we actually made that time to listen to him? There's a woman, Adele Calhoun, she writes about spiritual discipline, and she writes about solitude, and I thought this observation was really helpful. She says, solitude is a formative place because it gives God's Spirit time and space to do deep work. When no one is there to watch, judge, and interpret what we say, the Spirit often brings us face to face with hidden motives and compulsions. The world of recognition, achievement, and applause disappears, and we stand squarely before God without props. Man, that's powerful. I mean, just think about that. And no wonder we're intimidated, because here's God, the God of the universe, who's created us all, who knows everything about us and knows us better than we know ourselves. And now we're supposed to enter into the solitude and the silence before him and to just be laid bare. And we have no distractions to amuse us and to distract us from the fact that there's this chasm that separates us, right, on our own, that we fall short. And so we go before God, and what if as we're standing before him, we realize that we're not as great as we like to think we are? There's nothing to distract us from that reality. What if in that moment we realize that we're not as holy as we like to think that we are, because there's nothing to distract us from that? What if we realize we don't have it all together as much as we like everybody to think that we do, because we don't have all those achievements and everything else to hold up to God and to distract us from reality? I'm not going to need that, right? What if we throw things on the floor and distract us from what we're talking about right now? See, we're easily distracted. And having said that, I'm totally distracted. Right? But what if we come before God and we don't know what he's going to say to us? That we don't have it all together, that we're not as holy, we're not as great. And guess what? That's exactly what we find when we come before a holy God. When we come before God, we find that we're not everything that we want to believe that we are. But that's not the whole message. That's not the only thing that we find there. See, the rest of the message, when we enter into that solitude, when we enter into that silence, we find that God is there to meet us. And we find that we are loved and accepted because of Christ. Then when we enter into that quiet before God, and we find that we are not holy and we are not great and we are not wonderful on our own, and yet he loves and accepts us. You know why? Because when Christ, when Jesus was hanging on that cross, when he was dying, and he looked up to his Father and he said, "Father, Father, why have you forsaken me?" He was greeted with silence. But it was an ultimate silence. It was a cosmic silence as the Father turned away from him so that he could turn towards us. So that when you and I, we come before God in that quiet, in that moment, and we are free from distractions and nothing else is separating us, and we've gotten rid of everything else that we like to hold up to God and distract ourselves, when we come before God in that moment, he says, "I love you and you're accepted. Not because of who you are, but because I love you in Christ." Christ was rejected so that we would be accepted in that moment. And when we know that, when we realize that in that moment, it's like hitting the reset button. You know what a reset button is? It restores all the factory settings. It's like in that moment, all the distractions, everything else that the world has tried to tell us about ourselves, everything that the world has tried to impose upon us that it says this is important and this is what defines you and this is what life is really about. It's like in that moment as we come before God and we're reminded that we are lost apart from him and yet we are accepted in Christ. It's like we start fresh. Everything is new at that moment. And because of that, we can walk out into this world and we don't have to be distracted. We don't have to amuse ourselves constantly. We can live and we can live boldly because we're in a fight. You guys know that, right? We're in a fight every day. Every day we are in a fight, not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and the principalities and the spiritual forces. And what Satan wants more than anything else is for us to just be distracted, right? He's got a great thing going in for many of us in this society, right? In the internet age. If we'll just be distracted and we'll just be amused and we'll just entertain ourselves, then we're no threat to him or to his plans. He doesn't have to worry about us at all. But can I tell you something? I want to be a threat. I don't know about you, but I want to be a threat. I want to be a threat to his plans. I want to love my wife. I want to engage with my family in such a way that I'm a threat to Satan's plans to destroy us. I want us as a church to love other people, to engage with the community around us in such a way that we are a threat to Satan's plans for evil and injustice and hatred. But that's not going to happen unless we are locked in on God. If we can't hit that reset button, then we just get tossed along. We get pulled along by wherever the world is leading us. But when we are locked in on God and we come before him and we pursue that relationship and we take that 3, 4, 5, 10 minutes, whatever it is, how long do you drive to work? That's all it takes to be reminded, to engage, then we can live boldly. And there's nothing that holds us back. We're in a fight, and we've got to be locked in on God, but it takes effort. It takes discipline. And it's not enough just to look the part. You know, we can't just check off those boxes because the world has never been changed by checking off boxes. The world has changed when God's power powerfully moves through men and women and in his church. That's what changes the world. But to do that, we have to engage with him. We have to be locked in on him. We have to be focused on him. So, are you locked in on the Lord? Are you spending that time? Are you taking that time? Like we said, it doesn't take that much. It might just be a few minutes to start your day. It might be a few minutes during lunch. It might be a few minutes later on. But it takes discipline. It takes planning. But we make time for what matters to us. If we can find time to play Clash of Clans, then we can find time to spend with the Lord. If we can find time to watch the football game, then we can find time to spend with the Lord. Whatever it is, we can find that time. But we have to want to. And in that moment, when we go before the Lord, then we're reminded of life's greatest truth. And that greatest truth that empowers us, that hits the reset button, that allows us to walk into this world and to lead boldly and to live and to engage and not be distracted, that Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. And I don't want to be distracted from that. So my challenge for you this week, take the time, find some time. In a few weeks, we've mentioned to you this before. I just want to throw this out there. There's going to be a spiritual retreat on Friday morning, October 24th. And Anna Balfour is going to lead it. And some of you, you need to consider signing up for that. Some of you need to think about that. It may not be for everybody. That's okay. But make that time. You know, maybe that would be a great opportunity to go and to do something completely different. To turn off the phones, turn off the computers, get away from the world, get away from life. And just hear our Father, and to be reminded that He loves us. In the remaining time that we have here, I want to take just a moment, and I want us all just to be quiet. We already had a little bit of that time before, but as we begin to close this service, before we go back out into this world, back out into the community, I want to take just a moment, and just to be quiet, and just to be reminded of God's truth. So let's close our eyes together and let's pray. And I'll close this in just a few moments. Father, You are the most real thing in our lives. You are the most true and pure existence that there is. And yet we find it so easy to be distracted by so many things of insignificance. So many things to entertain us, to amuse us. Father, forgive us that we are so easily distracted from You. God, in this moment, we just want to be reminded. We want to hit that reset button. We want to experience Your presence, free from distraction, to know that we are loved in Christ, that we are accepted in Christ, and that we don't have to live according to the world's scorecard. We don't have to live the way the world tells us that we need to live. We don't have to just react to everything around us, to our email, to everything that's going on at work, to the people in our lives. We don't just have to react. We can live, and we can live boldly. Because You live in us. I pray that we would experience Your power this week. I pray that we would make time with You a priority. And that it would change the way that we live. And the way that we engage with our families, at work, with our neighbors, and with our world. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.